Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps, and thanks.
250 million Americans visit our national parks every year. We have nearly 400 of them. Most of them are patrolled by rangers who protect the park and talk about its geography, geology, plants, and animals. And some feature interpretive rangers who take on a character to help visitors understand the unique history of the park. One such ranger welcomes visitors to one of the most beautiful spots in the West, Yosemite. Jim Williams of member station KUMN caught up with this ranger in action.
Have you noticed there's just so much sky here? I think there's an overabundance of sky in Yosemite. I wonder if the sky needed to get a permit from the government to have so much of itself over here?
South Carolina native Sergeant Elise Bowman stands surrounded by 15 or so wide-eyed Yosemite visitors. He's decked out in his tan 9th Cavalry finest. The crossed swords on his brimmed military hat flash in the bright sunlight.
So now I'm going to tell you why it is the military was brought in here. When Yosemite was created as a national park on October 1st, 1890, Congress neglected a little thing that ain't so little. They forgot to supply adequate funding for the protection of the park. This woman's in shock. She can't believe the government would not see that clearly was an issue. If you have a national park and you don't have someone to protect it, it could be a problem, because how many of you folks think that Yosemite is a place beyond value?
Everyone in this group raises a hand. It's not surprising. Bowman is using Half Dome as his own personal backdrop. The nearly vertical granite cliffs shine through the massive incense cedars and ponderosa pines on the Yosemite Valley floor. And of course, this isn't really Sergeant Elise Bowman. It's Shelton Johnson, an African-American interpretive ranger who's essentially reincarnated the sergeant's character. In fact, Johnson's been getting into this character in front of visitors here for about 5 years now. From his research, Johnson found out that Sergeant Bowman was a Buffalo Soldier, a member of a group of African-Americans who helped guard Yosemite just after its creation. Bowman spent several summers in the early 1900s patrolling the backcountry looking for poachers and timber thieves.
And the people in this county, Mariposa County, are used to coming up into these mountains and getting what they want, what they need to help their family from these mountains. People come up here and have for years to shoot the game, to cut the trees down for firewood, and all of a sudden, the government steps in and says that there's a line right here. Right here. And that line on this side is Yosemite National Park. On that side is Mariposa County. Now, how many of you see that line? If you're from Mariposa County, there ain't no line there at all.
It's a surprise for many. The Buffalo Soldiers who fought for the United States in the Philippines and in Mexico during the Spanish-American War later joined white soldiers to guard several Western parks. The young African-American men, many of whom had enlisted to escape the discrimination of the South, found themselves faced with a new kind of trouble in the Western wilderness.
I got to ask you folks something. Is there a nice way to call someone a timber thief and a poacher?
No.
Yeah. And if we were in Mississippi or Alabama or Georgia, and I was going to call a white man a timber thief and a poacher, ain't there a word for that down South? Oh, I remember. It's called suicide.
Yeah.
The laughter turns to quiet, and there's a moment here where Johnson's audience seems to consider something a bit deeper. But the ranger moves them on quickly to another spot, playing his Native American flute along the path. He stops, points to a place for the kids to sit in the shade. And Elise Bowman is back.
Ma'am, do you think I got a bit of an attitude?
He explains that he'd had an attitude growing up in Spartanburg, South Carolina, which didn't go over well in the late 1800s. It's a big part of the reason he ended up a Buffalo Soldier. His father, he says, told him to leave home as a teenager and walk north, which he did. Then he went west, eventually ending up in Fort Robinson, Nebraska, where he was extended an offer to join the Army. Bowman says as he held the pen to sign his enlistment form, he remembered that his brother had died in the Civil War after having escaped slavery in South Carolina.
My brother had done the same thing I was about to do, make a mark on a piece of paper. And that's what I remembered. And I heard in my head this. There's a man going round, taking names. There's a man going round, taking names. He has taken my brother's name, and he's left my heart in pain. There's a man going round, taking names. Oh, death is that man, taking names.
Johnson bases his performance on his late father's personality and says through the performance, his father and the Buffalo Soldiers live on.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And for the visitors here today, none of whom are African-American, the impact is clear.
This man has a true gift as a storyteller. I would come back every day to hear this if I could. I feel like I'm a lot better educated about it, and I really appreciate that.
Well, he brings it to life in the way that he's dressed. He's got the Buffalo Soldier outfit on. I'm still trying to figure out how he tied his leggings on.
It's a house secret.
Yeah, I figured it was a secret.
It just makes it a much richer experience than having, you know, someone tell you about history. It gives you a feeling of experiencing history.
I think the country's probably full of stories like this if we really knew the history and the individuals who were involved in these things.
Johnson says for him, the opportunity to share Bowman's character with park visitors is too good to pass up.
I think that this story provides a cultural window, a window into another way of looking, into another way of being, that some people have never looked through that particular window. So this provides them an opportunity to not just see another person's point of view, but to see themselves through that other window, how they may be seen through that other window.
But Johnson believes he's also having an impact on African-American park visitors.
They come into this setting, and there may be some anxiety because it's away from urban areas. They're doing something that a lot of African-Americans historically have not done in terms of visiting national parks and wilderness areas. And so when they hear this story, it's like a safe house or an environment of not necessarily comfort, but it gives them the sense that, oh, we belong here. This is the place that we've done this work, that we help protect. This is our park. And they start seeing Half Dome. They start seeing El Capitan in a completely different way because it's part of the African-American experience to be in Yosemite.
Johnson regularly does his Alize Bowman presentation for kids of color from nearby places like Fresno, Los Angeles, Sacramento, and San Francisco. The kids come to understand that some of Yosemite's earliest protectors faced some of the same challenges they face today. Johnson says for him, it's also a way to make sure the history book isn't missing a chapter.
I think that stories that are forgotten, that we pay no attention to, just fade away, like an old soldier, you know. But stories that get that attention, that engage the mind, engage the vision, that invigorates the story, that puts blood into the story, and the story can just live and live on and live on and live forever.
And to help ensure just that, Shelton Johnson is writing a book on the Buffalo Soldiers of Yosemite. It'll be called Glory Land. He's also been interviewed by Ken Burns for a PBS documentary on the parks. His is a rising star, and Alize Bowman is right there rising with him. For Living on Earth, I'm Jim Williams from Yosemite National Park.
Next time on Living on Earth, for 60 years, scientists have been taking the pulse of volunteers in Framingham, Massachusetts, trying to unravel the mysteries of heart disease.
One of the reasons Framingham was good for this study was because it was so ordinary. A little cross-section of America, albeit of white America, but it was just a very plain community.
The Framingham Heart Study at 60. Extraordinary medical findings from an ordinary place. On the next edition of Living on Earth. On Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Ashley Ahern, Bobby Bascom, Eileen Balinski, Bruce Gellerman, Ingrid Lobet, Helen Palmer, Emily Taylor, and Jeff Young. Our interns are Alexandra Gutierrez and Mitra Taj. Jeff Turton is our technical director. Allison Learish-Dean composed our themes. You can find us anytime at loe.org. I'm Steve Kerwood. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies, Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners. The Ford Foundation, the Town Creek Foundation, the Oak Foundation, supporting coverage of climate change and marine issues, and Pax World Mutual Funds, socially and environmentally sustainable investing. Pax World, for tomorrow. On the web at paxworld.com.
PRI, Public Radio International.